You might notice that I am not Rachel. I have not transformed. This is not like Freaky Friday. Rachel is sick, and so you are stuck with me for today. Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in our second week of our Lenten series, which is called In the Guise of a Stranger, where we reflect on stories from Scripture when God or angels or Christ appeared and was not recognized as such. We hope that by praying on these stories, we can train our hearts to seek God in all of the manifold ways that they present themselves to us over and over and over again in the faces of strangers. Just over a year ago, a baby was born in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. His mother, down on her luck and overwhelmed, left the hospital, left the baby in the care of capable nurses, and left without any way to contact her. The hospital's social worker called the Department of Children and Families, who called our friends, who had just signed up to become foster parents. They then called us, who had been foster parents for several years already. "What do you think?" they asked. We told them the sorts of questions to ask the nurses and social workers, like, "Is he on any medications? How is he feeding? What do you know about his family?" And then we asked, so that we could pray for them, "What's his name?" The baby did not have a name. Not yet. His mother had left without naming him, and it wasn't clear at the time who could name him. Our friends visited him every day for the week that he was in the NICU, snuggling him up against their chests and learning how to care for him. And they found, taped to his bassinet, a grid with a list of names and dozens of check marks. His nurses, knowing that a child needs a name, had set up a sort of poll. People could add names, Jack and Maxwell and Gavin and Nicholas and Franklin and 14 others. And then everyone could put a mark for like, neutral, or dislike on a particular name. When the poll closed, some nurse tallied it up, and Franklin was the winner. In addition to that poll taped to his bassinet, our friends found a board book featuring Franklin the turtle, on the inside of cover which was written this: "Before you had your forever name, you were the hospital's baby Franklin, a name given to you by hospital doctors, nurses, secretaries, housekeepers, and more. We hope you know that no matter what your forever name is, or where your forever home is, you have always been loved by many." Eventually, the DCF social workers were able to get a hold of the baby's grandparents, who could not take in a newborn, but who did give him a name, which is the name on his birth certificate and the name we call him now. But he will always have a first name, a reminder that his story is not a story of abandonment, but a story of people remembering that every child matters. Every child belongs. Every child is ours to care for, ours to protect, ours to surround with love. The poet and prophet James Baldwin teaches us that children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. The story from today's gospel reading is one of the only glimpses we get into seeing Jesus as a child, or more precisely, as a tween, someone who could not quite pay attention long enough to not get lost on a family trip, who sort of mouthed off to his mom, You see, we're so accustomed to seeing Jesus as an adult, as God manifest in flesh, capable of healing and teaching enormous crowds. But it means something to our faith that Jesus did not appear out of the sky as a grown man or emerge from the sea as some sort of magical God-man. No. Our ancestors in this text wanted to pass something down to us, something critical. Jesus was a baby, and then a child, and then a teenager. The one who we remember as the one whom the winds and the waves obey, he was a child once. And if this is true, and I believe that it's true, then God has made clear that the holy is not uniquely present in adults or in people capable of reason or physical strength. God has been a child, and thus all children, all of them everywhere, hold within them the spark of the divine one. Every child, all of them everywhere, holds within them the very image of God. Every child, all of them everywhere, have something to teach us about who God is. When we baptize babies, this is part of what we affirm, that God's blessing upon you is not earned by your own wisdom or even your own belief. God's blessing upon you is simply a fact of your existence. Because you are God's child. Because you are beloved of God and beloved of God's people. This is true for baby May, who we baptized today at First Worship, and it's true for all children everywhere. If Jesus was a child, then the welcome that we extend to children is the welcome that we extend to Christ. Welcoming children as they are, with their snacks and noise, wild spirits and honest cries, will open a window for all of us to know more of who God is. If we only welcome some children, maybe the quiet ones or the neurotypical ones, then we only welcome some of Christ. We only get to know some of who God is. And maybe we miss. Maybe we miss something about Christ, how his love and his energy cannot be contained. How we care for children is how we care for Christ. The children in our church, the children across our city, trans kids who simply seek to be seen as the beauty that they are, the children in southern Iran, those who escaped the American bombs and the ones that didn't. All the children, everywhere, the ones that Jesus loves. All the children everywhere, the ones that Christ is present within. There's a Jewish tradition at Passover to leave the door unlocked and to set a place at the table for Elijah, the ancestral prophet whose return is the hope of the people. About 6 years ago, there was a knock on our door at dinner time, and in he came, a little boy, just 2 years old, his hair covering his enormous brown eyes, holding the hand of a social worker, turning the corner toward our dinner table. "This is Elijah," the social worker said. We had set a place for him, frozen cheese pizza and baby carrots and milk. We didn't have kid plates yet, so it was just on some Tupperware. We didn't know if he needed his milk in a sippy cup or an open cup or a bottle. We did not know anything. We, in fact, had to Google, will giving a two-year-old a pillow be what he needs, or will it kill him? Answer is, it doesn't, no one knows. But in he came. Here is Elijah. In he came and taught my wife and I more about God than a combined 11 years of formal schooling in theology. All of the children, everywhere, they are all ours. They hold within them the spark of the divine, lessons about who God is and how God loves. Jesus was a kid, a baby, a toddler, a child, a tween, a teenager. Let us keep the doors of our hearts open, the doors of our lives unlocked, a place at our communion table and our coffee hour for the little ones among us, that Christ might come to live among us and teach us, just as he did in the temple millennia ago, as a child. Amen.